All right, I got a thank you card to read. You can go ahead and turn your Bibles to 3 John, and 3 John will read verses 9 through 11 tonight, and do a quick recap and then do that. But let me just read a card here from the Kraft family. Dear pastor and church family, thank you for the opportunity to report to the church and to preach on Wednesday, January the 25th. It was good to see the people who had been in our ministry in the past. Some of y'all remember they had a couple of couples that came and joined. And I thank Brother Sam and Lord of those members of their church in the past as well, the military ministry. It says, thank you for the wonderful accommodation, the generous love offering, and the good fellowship. Thank you for your support and of our ministry. May the Lord bless you as you continue to serve him, the Crafts, Philippians 1:6. So let's remember to lift them up and continue to pray for the Kraft family as they're traveling, reporting their churches and their transition to ministry. All right, just to help me out, I know people have lives and they work and they can't always be here, but to help me to gauge, just slip your hand up if you were not here last Sunday night. Just real quick up and down. Okay, so this way I can get an idea of how quick to go over last week before just going along too fast. We started a series last week, simply the thought of the question, am I a problem or a blessing? Am I a problem or a blessing? We read 3 John, and we talked about Gaius. Gaius was the encourager. And here we need to remember, as we try to encourage others, the word minister means to be a servant. And so I'm going to go over just a recap here briefly. Gaius, the encourager, there in verse 2, it says he was in good spiritual health. And then in verse 3 and 4, it said that he has a good testimony. And then in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, it talked about he has a practical ministry. We elaborated on practical ministry and being involved and how a church body needs many hands, many people being involved and doing the work, and just not one or two people. And I made the comment that if we lose the moist spot in our eyes, our compassion for people, we have lost our right to exist as a church. And we talked of importance about Jude 22, compassion makes a difference. And then I challenged you a little bit and reminded you about your compassion for your family, compassion for your friends, compassion for God's men, including your pastor as well as others in ministry, our missionaries, our evangelists. I challenge you to reach out with compassion to souls that need the gospel, our friends, our neighbors, those that we see in the community. I challenge you to reach out with compassion for those who have fallen into sin. Problem is, see, many people need a hand up. But sometimes we're not careful. We're more busier kicking a brother or sister while they're down when they need a hand up. I challenge you to reach out with compassion to the sick and to the hurting. And then we made the comment once again, have we lost our sensitivity to the hurting that is all around us? Reach out to someone this week. Reach out to someone every day and do something that says, I care for you just like Jesus does. And that's what we covered last week. We talked about compassion, and we said the man Gaius, he cared, and I challenge you also to do your part in caring for others. So let's go ahead and pick up tonight, and let's go ahead and look at the next section of Scripture, and let's look at verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. May you be uplifted and glorified. And Father, may we glean and learn from the scriptures. To last week, a good example. Tonight, and all, honestly, Father, a bad example. And Father, help us to look inward as we look out, Father, and realize there's some things maybe in our life that we need to adjust, that we need to change, that would make us more like you and less like of ourselves or the flesh. Lord, now bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I've got several notes here, and I was studying tonight as Michelle was resting, and I found a few more things, and I got so busy this afternoon, I didn't have time to transpose it into my notes, so I'm going to see how I can do on winging it as we go. But I did want to read a quote before we get into this. Oliver Green makes a very practical comment that needs to be heeded by all church leaders who desire to be the preeminence. He said this: Greek authorities tell us that the phrase here translated, who loveth to have the preeminence, is only one word in the Greek and is not found anywhere else in the New Testament. The meaning is simply one who loves to be first, one who will rule or ruin. But there are no rulers, but there are no rulers or lords in God's church. Pastors, deacons, church leaders are not to be lords over God's heritage. 1 Peter 5:3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples of the flock. And in the coming days, I'm working on a series of sermons, and we're about the qualifications of a pastor, which you can expect from me according to the Bible, and the qualifications of deacons, so that we can be well educated or reminded as we appoint deacons in the coming weeks and months down the road. We will be asking next week, as we have our business meeting, about a couple of the men coming back on as deacons to serve the rest of this year along with Brother Ed, and then setting in place new deacons in 2024. But I think it would be good for me to teach and preach on that before we do that. All right, back to our text here. Diotrephes was the proud boaster, as we see here in verses 9 through 11. And dear friends, wherever you go, in some churches, there seems to be someone who insists on being the boss. Someone who assumes dictatorial powers, or who thinks they have the right or the seniority of what's taking place. And we need to understand, though, the church God has ordained has set up the church, and we are to be pastor, deacon, led a congregation, but still the pastor or the deacons or others are not to lord over the people. See, these folks do not understand that the word minister means to be a servant. We are to serve. Serving others means that you remove any animosity in your heart, then and only then can you love like Jesus loves. We cannot think by any aspect of any stretch or imagination of our mind that we're going to be effective ministers to other people if we hold animosity toward others. How can we effectively minister to those that we may have animosity toward? How can we expect to be right out here when we know that we're not right in this direction? Here with Diotrephes was not a good example. He was a proud boaster. Instead of giving the preeminence to Jesus Christ, he claimed it for himself. You know, we find them everywhere, in many places, not just in churches, but in societies. They look more and walk more and look more like a peacock than they do anything else. They want the preeminence. They want the attention. He was the proud boaster. He had to have the final say about every single thing in the church. And his decisions were determined by one question: what will this do for me? What will this do for Diotrephes? He was the opposite of John the Baptist, where we see him referring to Christ in John 3:30. He says, he must increase, I must decrease. So how do we see ourselves in the light of others? How do we see ourselves in the light of Christ? If we are to be servants, we need to be willing to serve others, to help out where we can, do what we can to encourage, to uplift, and not looking to be overseers or lording over others. Couple of things about Diotrephes. He was guilty of five charges that we see here in Scripture. Letter A, or first of all, he attempted to occupy the leading position in the church. Here he was, here John the Apostle, trying to be a blessing, writing unto them, checking on them, but yet he was blocking many things that were taking place. He wanted the lead position. And dear friends, it's sad to say that we have churches like this all across, not just America, but around the world, where those who want to lead and run the church. I've actually heard somebody say this: I was here before you came, I'll be here after you're long gone. Yeah, pretty harsh, pretty hard, but there are those like that. Then next we see he refused to receive John the Apostle there in verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Can you imagine hearing from the Apostle John? Can you imagine or hearing from a godly person coming by, wanting to come by and be a blessing and encouragement, and just simply saying, I'm not interested. You're not welcome here. That was his attitude. And then we also see in reference to his guilty charges, the third one or letter C, he slandered the apostles. He was more concerned about being critical of others. And that's what happens, and I'll get more into that later, is sometimes we tend to be critical of others. Sometimes it's the very things that we are guilty of ourselves or our shortcomings. And then letter D, we see that he refused to entertain missionaries and evangelists and other pastors in verse number 10. See, and I want you to take note of this. Nowhere in Scripture does it mention him changing his attitude or his mind. We see other places in Scripture where people change their life. We see other places where people change. We heard of Saul about how he persecuted Christians, and later trusting the Christ, God, Lord, changed his name to Apostle Paul, and we hear of him and how God used him. But here is the only time he is mentioned in Scripture. It tells me there wasn't much change, but there was more of ruin in his life. Not only did he refuse to entertain missionaries, but letter E, he attempted to excommunicate believers. In verse number 10, he says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Can you imagine? What if you folks would have thought of me if you heard these two families that wanted to join church this morning, and I said, no, we've got enough here, y'all can leave. I would hope that you would be talking to me and say, preacher, you need to change, or we need to find us another shepherd. Amen? Amen? Folks need to be welcome when they come here. They may need to make some adjustments in their life. There may be some changes that need to take place, but we need to receive them as part of our church family. We need to receive them as visitors and eventually as part of our church family, but also at the same time in line with Scripture and the Word of God. God works on the inside, and if we're not careful, we'll tend to judge people on the outside. See, people like Diotrephes are dangerous. Fortunately, they are easy to recognize. First of all, this is not in your notes, you'll have to remember to write it down. They talk about themselves and what they have done for the Lord. Look at me. Look what I have done. Let me list all the things that I have done for the Lord and for the church. They have a habit of condemning those who disagree with them. You know, you can agree to disagree and still get along just fine. Now, when we cross Scripture, we're going to have a little problem here. But outside of Scripture, preferences, things that we prefer over another. But here, people like Diotrephes, they are easy to recognize, not only because they want to talk it up and make themselves look good, but they have a habit of condemning those who disagree with them. And then we see that they are experts in putting labels on other Christians and classifying them into little categories. They base their fellowship on personalities and not on doctrinal truth. I hope you understand when I say this. I make no apologies for being a Baptist. I make no apologies for the version of the Bible that I use. But I do not make that particular thing a test of fellowship when it comes to sitting down and having a cup of coffee with someone. I'm careful about whose home that I enter into or who I have into my home according to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But at the same time, I want to be friendly and minister those and bring folks into the house of God, minister them though that I see, and not put people in a box. When we have a church fellowship and we have a church function, all should be welcome. We're having an open house in our home. I'm publicly inviting everyone. There will be times that I fellowship with one group. I fellowship with another group. Or people may think, well, preachers, you want to tell you why preachers over there? Because they invited me. And we need to be like that in a sense of including others in fellowship and in being involved. Had a wonderful meal and a good time of fellowship with Brother Chris and Miss Joanne. Why? Because they invited us. And we went and we partook. It was so good I ate two plates. And we enjoyed the fellowship and we talked for a few hours. I was invited. We need to make sure that we don't put these labels on and we include others. We bring people in fellowship. See, I believe most of the distress and division in Bible-believing churches come from personality division, not doctrinal division. Don't let personalities get in the way. Don't let other issues get in the way. I found out tonight that Brother Mike was a Marine. That's okay. Not everybody can be a soldier in the Army. But see, I'm not going to make that a test of fellowship. I'm not going to make that an issue. We've got others here that served in the Air Force, served in the Navy. Brother Ed served in the Navy. Hey, we served our Lord. We're going to tease each other. But that's not going to be a contention of why I do or do not fellowship with them. We need to base those things more on doctrinal division, not personalities or personal things. Notice verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. You see, it's unfortunate that people in the church can become like Diotrephes. It happens when good people seek to do good things, but do it in a bad way. Let me try to explain a few examples here. Good people go bad when they become involved in bad company. Amen? Hey, look, you get around a certain group or certain crowd, if you're not careful, some of that's going to rub off on you. Don't think I'm going to lift them up because they're going to pull you down. Make sure its strength is or in numbers. Good people who hang around the wrong crowd, even the spiritual crowd that love to talk about people more than they talk about God, will eventually turn bad. Be careful. You know the best way to keep a friend, the best way to keep someone you're getting to know to stop talking about people, is the next time they do, grab them by the hand and run to the person they were talking about and say, let's clear this up. Amen? That'll stop that real quick. Or that'll you lose a friend, maybe probably better to lose. Remember, make sure that it's Christ-centered. Good people who start to live their lives and offer service in the energy of the human flesh and forget that it should be in the energy of the Spirit of God will begin to do things in a bad way or in a wrong way. Make sure that we're doing it for the right reason. Make sure we're doing it based on Scripture. Make sure we're doing it based on service unto the Lord. We have some other religions, some other church organizations that put a lot of emphasis on works, 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 works. And they have to do all these good things. I don't know how many people I've talked to said, well, I've done all these things, and I give them an opportunity to talk. And my answer is always the same. I open my Bible and say, you show me anyone in the Bible that says they got to heaven on their good works. Show me. Because they don't have an answer for that. And dear friends, we must realize we don't work to be saved. It's the fruits or the evidence of our salvation. We work to minister unto others because Christ ministered to us through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we want to tell others. We labor and minister out of love for the Lord. I get up in the mornings early. Many times the clock wakes me up. Sometimes I just wake up. I like to wake up first because I go to make the coffee and I get to come and I get to serve my wife her first cup of coffee. Besides that, she makes a mess and she beats me there. No, I want to serve her that first cup. Now, sometimes I act like I cleaned the whole house after I did that. But I want to do that because I love her. I want to give her that quiet time. I go back to the machine. I make my cup, and I go on the other end of the house since she's moved my office again, and I have my cup of coffee on the other end of the house, and we both have sweet fellowship with the Lord, and then we come together and have our second cup after we have our time with the Lord. But in saying that, we need to remember and realize that we do that not because we want to check a box. I do that not because I want to say I read my Bible today. We do that because we want to draw closer to Him. We do that because we want to spend time in the Word. We do that because we want to learn, and we want some of this to rub off on us, that we might be more like Christ. Good people who are doing good things in a bad way start skipping church here and there. Stop reading their Bibles. Stop praying. Stop giving of their tithes and their time and their offerings, and start to pat themselves on the back. They are saying they are better than the rest. And dear friends, when you start slipping away from church, you stop fellowshipping with God's people, you stop attending church, and you start drifting, I promise you, sinful nature will begin to develop, and you'll be involved in things you wish you had never partaken in. I'm telling you this because I can remember vividly, and if I asked some of you to raise your hand to say, I know what you're talking about, preacher, some of you would raise your hands. I remember getting away from the Lord as a teenager, for the Lord had to work me over and I got back. I'm so glad it was short-lived. Short-lived, and the Lord forgave me. You see, good people who become what we might call Bible educated go bad when they begin to use the Bible as a whipping tool instead of using it to teach, build up, and to win others for Christ. See, that's what church is all about. My responsibility is to exhort and to preach the word, to encourage you, to love on you, and even sometimes say the hard things. And we as a family, it is our responsibility to spend the time in the word, to spend the time in prayer, being here when we are not providentially hindered, that we might encourage one another, that we might be challenged, and that we might have ourselves, well, this is the best way to put it, gentlemen, that we might have someone as an accountability partner. It's good to have someone ask you, how's your spiritual life? It's good to have somebody ask you, did you read your Bible today? It's good to ask somebody, what are you studying right now in your devotions? It's that accountability that we encourage one another and that we stay on the right track. Now, again, we see in our text in verse 11, it says, to follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. See, we must not take our example from Diotrephes, but rather from Christ, who went about doing that which was good. Now, I realize we can't be exactly like Christ, but we can do our best to be more like him and less like the old nature. We can desire to push forward into serving others. Here's a few examples. Jesus visited and healed the sick and fed the multitudes. When's the last time that we took a meal to a friend that we knew that was sick? When's the last time we took a meal over to a new neighbor in our community? When's the last time we reached out to try to make a difference to someone that wasn't feeling well or was having a rough time? Or even sent a text message and said, how are you feeling today? That's what Jesus would do. Jesus went to witness to Zacchaeus. He went to witness to the woman taken in the very act of adultery. And to the woman at the well and many others. He went to where sinners are. And dear friends, if we're going to be less like Diotrephes and not think just of self, but think of ourselves as a servant, how would we, think about it, how would you describe a servant? And then add to that, a servant of God. How do we serve others? By serving God. See, we serve God by serving others in his name and making a difference in the life of others. In a world that is naked and destitute of food, somebody should clothe them and feed them. In a world that is hungry and seeking the truth, somebody should go and share the bread of life with them. Let me give you a good example. How many of you, now just be honest with me, men or women can raise your hands. I know the men are the guilty parties. Somebody in your household goes to the grocery store. And they come home, and all the way back from the grocery store, they're complaining about how it cost $300, and I remember when it was $125. And you get back to the house, you unload the car, you put the food in the pantry, put the food in the refrigerator, wherever it goes, and then somebody in your house comes by and looks through all the cabinets and says, man, I'm hungry, I want something. There's nothing in this house. Sound familiar? Yeah. You know what that tells me? It's that you're looking for something to eat. You're looking for something to satisfy something, and you just don't know what it is. Amen? Now, the ladies know. They know they need it. It's chocolate, right? Ladies, it's chocolate. It's ice cream. But the world that we live in today, whether they'll accept it, whether they'll admit it or not, many are looking for something, and they do not even know what they're looking for. And if we don't come by to show them and tell them what it is to fill that void in their life, how else are they going to hear? Every time I walk through the house and say there's nothing to eat, my wife usually walks by and starts opening cabinets. And she steps back and says, take your pick, sweetheart. What do you want me to fix? Can you fix it yourself? Do you want me to fix it? What she's just making a point is, we've got plenty. You just need to make up your mind what you want. And we're living in a world today that needs more believers and less like this Diotrephes, loving servants that's willing to share with others or show them what that void is and what they're missing in their life. Because we do live in a world where people are looking for answers, looking for something, and they have no idea what it is that they're missing in their life. And somebody needs to show them. Somebody needs to open a cabinet. Somebody needs to open their Bible. Somebody needs to show the love of Christ that they might see it. We need to be less like Diotrephes and more like Christ. The question comes again, are we a problem or are we a blessing? Let me ask tonight, how would you characterize yourself? Like the self-centered Diotrephes or like the Lord Jesus who was a blessing to others? Some of us men That's why I say us, because I'm including myself. Sometimes as we get older, we begin to think about what we may leave behind. Maybe we want to use the word legacy. Think about it for a moment. What kind of legacy did the Autryphes leave behind? Nothing to talk about. I mean, if they were going to, if it was me and I came behind him in a church somewhere, if I was to do anything to honor him, I might put his name on the broom closet, but that'd be about it. There's no legacy there. And dear friends, it's not that we should work and labor to get a legacy, but we need to look back on our life, look at it, the past and the present, and looking forward. What am I doing and what have I done in serving others in the name of Jesus? What is it that I can do to make a difference? Again, last week we talked about Gaius, who was an encourager. And next week, we're going to stop here tonight, and next week we'll go a little further and we'll talk about another gentleman in Demetrius who was a living, godly example. But we ask ourselves tonight as we pause, how would I evaluate my life today? Am I more like Gaius, the encourager, or am I more like Diotrephes, those who's more critical? Wants the preeminence, wants everybody to notice them. When they step into the room, they feel like everything should stop and the focus should be on them. I am not explaining a teenage girl by any means, but think about that for a moment. Oh, come on. That wasn't even funny a little bit. How many of you had teenage girls in your house? Come on, give me a break. But that should not be the attitude of the typical junior high kid who thinks, I've arrived, the party begins. But the servant, as we talked about this morning, upon entering the world, whether it's home or church in the community, is to have a desire, Lord, as I perform my job today, Father, as I carry out my daily business today, Lord, allow me to see where I can be a servant and a blessing to someone else. Have you ever thought about just being a servant or being a blessing to a complete stranger? We had an opportunity today, and I'll close with this example. Somebody invited me. I can't remember who it was. Somebody said, hey, preacher, you want to go to Culver's with us? I have a hard time turning down a hamburger, for your information. So I said, sure, we'll be there. Several of us were throughout the restaurant. Some of us were at the table all together. But I made it a point, and some of the people that were there with me did the same thing. But every time somebody came out to bring us our food or come back again with a drink or come back with ice cream or with a sundae, people kept coming back. I made it a point to get their name and thank them by name. To call their name, to let them know that I appreciated them. Even asked one young man how to pronounce his name to make sure I got it right. Folks, when we start treating others that way and we start trying to be a blessing and a servant to others, people around will take notice. And when we left that day, all of us at Harvest that was there, whether we're all sitting together at the big table, some that was outside, when we left and we got through, I hope that the thoughts in our mind was, boy, those church folks sure were friendly. That's what I want them to think about. And eventually they'll know who we are. Eventually they'll know I'm the pastor. Eventually others will know that we're church members, we're part of Harvest. And that we live and treat each other the right way, treat others, not treating them as they are servants, even though they're serving us, but saying thank you. You might be surprised when one of them just might ask us, hey, where is your church located? In fact, Easter is coming around. Some of them might start thinking about spiritual things because Easter is coming. And they might just ask, where do you go to church? I was somewhere the other day. I lied. Here's another example. Talking with somebody, just trying to be a help to them at the commissary. This fellow came out of the way, had a unique accent. He was from the Caribbeans and gave me some good information. He said, preacher, come on Tuesdays. We get the good meat on Mondays. Tuesday, you've got all the meat before they buy it all out. That's the best time to come. But I had been talking to him and told him I'd pastored. And before he left, he come by and he says, now, where is that church again that you pastor? And Michelle said, just a minute. She reached in her pocketbook and gave him a card. Now, he may already have a church home, he may not, but at least I have made enough of an impression. They asked about who we were and where we were located. Folks, the Autryphes doesn't do things like that. He's more critical. She's more critical. They're more concerned about them, my four, no more. Or they're concerned about me, look at me, look what I'm doing. And not so much about what we are doing as a body of Christ. Let's be more like Christ, more like Gaius. And the next week we'll step in and we'll go a little further in our outline and we'll talk about Demetrius. What an example that he was in the Word of God. Dear friends, again, as we close, people are watching. They're observing people around them. and we can make a big impact. So many are looking for something that they don't know what it is, and we could show them, and we can fill that void for them by living a godly, separated life, loving on people where they are and as they are. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Father, the blessings and the joy of fellowship, the blessings and the joy of ministry. Father, help us to strive to be a blessing and not a problem. Help us always consider and look at the things that I'm doing, the things that I'm saying, the actions that I'm taking, Father, that it will be a blessing and encouragement to someone around me. Father, even if no one is looking, in Jesus' name, I just want to serve others. Father, help us to have servant hearts that will make a difference. And then now, Father, as we prepare to transition a little bit in our service tonight, Lord, I just want to pause and just say thank you for the three families that you brought our way today, Father, this morning and again this evening. Father, what a blessing to see our church family grow. And Father, I pray that this will be a place that is so loving, that is so joyful and so desirous of serving others, Father, that we'll see a place where our back door is open all the time for people to enter in, and nobody would even consider wanting to leave or to go anywhere else because they want to serve God with God's people right here at Harvest. Father, help us to labor in servants toward others. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, I want to ask those that are non-members and those that are newly members, as in today or tonight, I will go out with you. I'm going to ask Brother Robert to come, and this is old business that's going to be taking place, and so I'm going to step aside. I'll fellowship with some of them in the foyer. I'll be around to talk to others after the service is over, and I'm going to wait for some other folks that are coming in, and I'll make my way out. Brother Robert's on his way, and this I'll finish up this business meeting tonight. And then I look forward to a little bit of fellowship. I'm going to hang around back in the other end and looking forward. Don't forget, Wednesday night, midweek service at 7 o'clock. God bless you. Brother Robert.